This meeting of the local government committee will please come, the House Local Government Committee will please come to order. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Bertolio.
Here.
Vice Chair Cohenour.
Present.
Representative Bishop.
Here.
Representative Galloway.
Present.
Hist.
Here.
Representative Gunderson.
Excused.
Representative Cordham. Representative Sprunger.
Here.
Representative Zolnikov.
Here.
Representative Thane.
Here.
Representative Rexton.
Here.
Representative Seekins-Crowe.
Excused.
Representative Lynch.
Here.
Representative Essman.
Here.
Representative Kearns.
Here.
Chair Brewster.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Looks like we have a quorum and we're ready to do business. Just a couple of announcements before we go. Please silence your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step out into the hall. If you wish to give testimony, please sign in at the door. Provide your name and affiliation, if any. And please, when you give testimony, please spell your last name for the record. And please note the information in your testimony is a public record. Now, the following bills have been scheduled today: Senate Bill 8, Senate Bill 98, and House Bill 246. So,
Senate Bill 5.
Is it Senate Bill 5? Sorry. Senate Bill 5. So at this time, we'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 5. Senator, would you like to present your bill? Yeah, you're... No, pardon me? Oh, did I? No, I'm sorry. Senate Bill 98. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Keith Regier, that's R-E-G-I-E-R, Senator from Senate District 3. Senate Bill 98 would strike the words "and within 3 miles thereof" from Montana Code 7-31-4101. A city or town can have their own health board. Current code gives that board jurisdiction over a large area outside of the city. This area then would be subject to the city's health board's powers and have no say in the election of the officials that appointed the board. It also is an area that could be under the county health board as well as the city health board, creating confusion. Striking those words makes sense to clarify who has power over the 3 mile donut around cities and provide proper representation. Mr. Chairman, committee, I don't think at the moment that there is anywhere in the state where this applies, but I've heard that it came close at one time. But anyhow, that language needs to be clarified. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. Are there any proponents in the room?
Good afternoon. That's loud. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Karen Alley, A-L-L-E-Y. I'm Associate General Counsel for the Montana Association of Counties. This bill, Senate Bill 98, started actually at the prompting of the Montana Association of Counties. A member county came to us with a concern. We vetted this through our district committees, went through our issue committees at the association, came to our full membership for vote, and MACO requested that we seek a remedy to the statute, and we thank the good senator for carrying this bill for us. This is a pretty simple, pretty straightforward correction to the code. So right now there's a county board of health, there's a city board of health if you're a first or second class city. If you don't want to do your own board of health as a city, you can consolidate with a county, so we have city-county consolidated boards of health. Both parties have to agree to that and enter into an interlocal agreement. And then multiple counties and cities can form what's called a health district, again, in agreement. As indicated, so far no city has formed their own board of health, which is why this issue has not come up. to date, but it almost did. So the question becomes is what will happen if a city that is a first or second class city or becomes a first or second class city decides to form their own Board of Health? They'd get 3 miles, they'd get a Board of Health within the boundaries of their municipality, and then those 3 miles outside the cities. And they get to they get the authority to do all sorts of fun things for stuff that constituents didn't get a vote for who's on that board. So a Board of Health gets to do things like authorize septic permits, abate public health nuisances, supervise or make inspections of conditions of public health importance. And hopefully you can see where issues occur, where the city reaches into a county area to make and enforce rules based on an appointment by city officers when members, the county constituents, don't have a voice or a vote within city elections. So we don't think that makes sense, and are seeking to clean up Montana code in that way. Additionally, and this is one of those kind of oddities in statute, public health statutes are governed in Title 50, and this is the only piece of public health code that's in Title 7, which is one of those oddities, which is, again, why it possibly hasn't been caught up to now. There are members within my office that didn't even know this portion of code existed until it came to our attention. So, again, this is just a cleanup. It makes sense, and we want to have this section of code cleaned up before an issue arises. So with that, I'll be available for questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Alley.
Other proponents in the room? We have proponents online.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have one proponent.
I don't know if you're Mr. or Ms. Palmquist. Would you like to go ahead?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, Honorable Chair and committee members, my name is Pamela Palmquist, PamelaHolmquist. I'm a Flathead County Commissioner. We came across this MCA as we were welcoming our local municipalities to join our health board. We found that if municipalities choose to create their own health department, then they would have jurisdiction within a 3 mile radius of their boundaries. Citizens do not want to be regulated by government that they do not have an opportunity to vote in or out of office. I think this is a common sense bill that basically would fix that, as it says that municipalities should not have jurisdiction outside of their boundaries. Regulation without representation is not appropriate under any circumstances. I'm a full supporter of SB 98 and would ask that you do pass this bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Palmquist. Do we have opponents in the room? Any opponents? Any opponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have informational witnesses in the room? I don't see any. Are there any informational witnesses online?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Cordham.
For Ms. Alley, please, Mr. Chair.
Pardon me?
For Ms. Alley, please.
Ms. Alley?
Mr. Chairman, Representative?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Alley. Mr. Chair, Ms. Alley, I was wondering how this would affect unannexed islands in the middle of a city before this limit would allow the city to have jurisdiction over those small block size areas. Would this exempt those islands in the middle of the city that aren't city within city boundaries?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cordham, that's a great question, and I don't have the answer for it, but I will happily research it and get back to you.
Please and thank you, yes. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Alley. Are there other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Senator, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Makes a lot of sense. I move for a due pass, and thank you. I close.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Senator. This closes the hearing on House Senate Bill 98. We'll now open the hearing on Senate Bill 5. Senator, would you like to open on your bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Brewster, members of the committee. I'm Senator Mary Ann Dunwell, and I represent the area where you're sitting right now, and on east, through East Helena and beyond. Today, I'm pleased to bring you SB 5. Now, this is on behalf of the most recent Local Government Interim Committee. It's about public notices that local governments are required to do. And it came out of a larger study that the interim committee did to look at the potential to post public notices electronically, either in digital newspapers, broadcast websites. There's a lot of, as you know, electronic media out there. Well, because there's so much out there, we couldn't come to agreement among the various stakeholders, so we decided just to leave that for a later date. This bill, however, is one teeny piece of it that we realized, this is something we can fix to make to improve Montanans' lives and make the business of local government just a little bit easier and more effective. So this bill eliminates a requirement. Right now, you have a county or a municipality that doesn't have a newspaper in their county. The law currently says they have to publish public notice in an adjacent county newspaper or the nearest newspaper. You know, it could be two counties over. And more we're finding folks aren't reading those newspapers. They're getting their news elsewhere. So we looked at that and talked to some local governments, and they agreed that, you know, they know best how to reach their people, their residents. And bottom line, keeping our eye on the prize, that's the goal of public notices, to reach people, to tell them what's going on in their government. So that's basically it. This eliminates that requirement for a county or municipality without a newspaper not to have to post in an adjacent county newspaper. It doesn't remove the requirement for public notice. They still have to do public notice. They can do it in three places, one of which can be the local government's newspaper. The local government's website. So two places and the local government's website, if they have one. That's basically it, and that'll sit down and let folks have their say. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there proponents in the room? Any proponents?
Good afternoon, Chairman Brewster. Thank you, Senator Denwell. My name is Debbie Randolph. Debbie is D-E-B-I. Randolph is R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H. I'm a Broadwater County Commissioner. This newspaper issue is not specific to Broadwater County. There's several counties that have the same issue. Senate Bill 5 is very much needed. Broadwater County currently is in a unique situation. We have two weekly newspapers right now. However, neither qualify as a county paper of record for legals because neither has been in business for a year. The newspaper that served the county legal notices, the was called the Broadwater Reporter. It closed in March of 2022. Beginning in April of 22, we had to start using the Helena IR according to be in compliance with MCA, which states in a county where a newspaper does not meet the qualifications, the publication must be made in a qualified newspaper in adjacent county. The Helena IR does not make sense for Broadwater County, and I'm sure there's other counties that their adjacent county newspaper doesn't make sense. The price is much higher. For example, we were paying about $26 in our local paper to put the county agendas. That's now about $58. Public hearing notices, and it all depends on the length and the size and all of that. But we were paying about $48 for public notices. Now it's about, it averages $100. And keep in mind, this is all taxpayer money. There is not one single place in Broadwater County where you can buy a Helena IR. All their newsstands are empty. I personally counted 8 locations in Broadwater County where you can pick up either of 2 of the current newspapers. Only 126 Broadwater County residents receive the Helena IR at their homes or their office. We're a county of about 7,000. The Helena IR does not have legals in Monday or Tuesdays. They don't post legals on those days. We post our official agendas on the county website, in the courthouse, and in the building across the street where we meet. If we have to revise the official agenda, we also include the school, city hall, and the post office in those revisions. We have a very large email list that can request to get our agendas and other notices, and also another group, BCDC, Broadwater County Development Corporation, sends our agendas out for free on their vast email list. Senate Bill 5 does much more than save counties who are under the adjacent rules money. It also allows government not to waste taxpayer money. We want to be clear, we're not in opposition to newspapers. We would love to have a newspaper of record in our county, but the current statute does not work. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there other proponents?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Karen Alley, A-L-L-E-Y. I'm Associate General Counsel for the Montana Association of Counties. MACO supports Senate Bill 5 in allowing counties a flexible alternative for providing public notice. This is really an efficient, effective, fiscally responsible manner to allow counties to notify the public of matters that need to be notified. This makes sense for Montana counties, especially particularly as technology use has increased, as well as access to technology. The cost of advertising has increased substantially and significantly for these counties, particularly when a county does have to rely on an out-of-town newspaper. Again, allowing a county flexibility to use things such as their website, having designated posting places within the county makes sense. From that perspective, I will say proof of publication, which is oftentimes an affidavit that a newspaper provides saying we ran your public notice on the state, can still be made by affidavit and can be done by the person who actually posted the notice, either on the website or within the county, and still have the same effect as newspaper's proof of publication. So that issue does not raise concern for MACO. So with that, I am available for to answer any questions, so thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alley. Thank you.
Yes.
Are there any other proponents in the room?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kelly Lynch, LYNCH, Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. I don't really have anything to say because this came from the counties, but we're fine with it and we support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Other proponents in the room? Don't see any proponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right. Are there any opponents in the room? Any opponents in the room? See none of their opponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are there informational witnesses in the room? Don't see any informational witnesses online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do we have questions from the committee? Vice Chair Kohnauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Randall.
Ms. Reynolds. Or Ms. Lynch.
Randall.
Ms. Reynolds. Commissioner.
If you say Debbie Reynolds, we're showing our age. I'm right there with you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question about the bill itself. And like on line 21, it says that you would only need to do the county's website. You may publish it on the county's website if the county has an active website. Why wouldn't that be a must do it on the county website if the county has an active website? If they have an active website, it seems like that would be a great must.
I don't know the answer to that, and if they have a county website, and most do, some very small counties don't. I will pass that on to Ms. Alley.
Redirect. Ms. Alley, can you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, could you restate your question?
Yeah, in the bill on line 21, mm-hmm. and in the other part of the bill, it actually says that one of the ways that you can do a publication is that it may be done on the county's website if the county has an active website. Why wouldn't that must be on the county's website if the county has an active website? That seems like a very appropriate place for them to post.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cohenour, or Vice Chair Cohenour, I don't disagree with you. I do believe that the county websites, as long as they're active, and not every county has an active website, not every county keeps their website up to date, but certainly if they do, it would be logical that that would be one of the first places a member of the public would go to see what's going on.
Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Representative Cohenour, go ahead.
Thank you. And I just wanted to follow up on, like, what are the ways that they can publish? Because that may just kind of had me thinking, what if they didn't want to put it on the website? Where would they put it? I mean, could they post notice in the post office instead? And that just seems a little weird to me as a hierarchy of if you were trying to actually contact your public.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cohenour, yeah, there are multiple ways that a county can publish. A county needs to designate a legal notice board within the county courthouse, so that's one place where notice is published of public meetings, agendas, that sort of thing. They could designate another place within the county or multiple other places in the county, such as the post office or any other places where public notices can. I mean, the post office is a big one that I know of. So there are other options.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Alley. Are there other questions from the committee? Representative Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the sponsor, please.
Senator.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. Would you be able to follow up on Ms. Cohenour's question?
Oh, sure. And, you know, that's something we we considered it, I think, in committee. We considered a lot with this big study. But I guess we thought that the county knows better than we do what works to communicate with their people. So I think that's why we left it May. This is your bill now. So if you want to put must in there, you know, it makes sense that they would put it on their website. And I think, as Ms. Alley said, that, you know, three places is the requirement. They can post elsewhere, too, 4, 5, 6, but it has to be, you know, at least three places. But if you want to make it must, that would make sense to me, if they have a website. Not every county has a website, so... thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Senator, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I think the only thing I wanted to add was, this passed the Senate committee, local government committee, 9-0, and passed the floor, 48-1. During the Senate committee hearing, we had the Montana Newspaper Association show up as proponents because they said, it makes no sense if people aren't reading our paper who live in this adjacent county. In fact, they even offered gratis to counties to post public notices for no cost on their mtpublicnotices.org, mtpublicnotices.org. And so I thought that was quite nice. So folks are in agreement about this piece. The other piece of the research we did, not so much yet, but stay tuned maybe for next session. So with that, I ask for your vote on SB 5. Thank you all.
All right, thank you, Senator.
Good to see you.
Is there anyone you wanted to carry this on the floor?
Oh, y'all can fight about it.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
It looks like we had a hand over here.
We'll just assign them at...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great. Exactly. Have a good rest of the day, everybody.
All right. This closes the public hearing on Senate Bill 5. We'll now open the hearing on House Bill 246. Representative Kearns, what would you like to open on your bill?
V- Mr. Chair, members of the House Local Government Committee, my name is Scott Kearns. That is S-C-O-T-K-E-R-N-S. And I have the honor and privilege of serving the great people living on the south side of Great Falls in House District 23. I bring you House Bill 246. House Bill 246 is a zoning bill. It provides a tool in Montana Code annotated for counties and cities to point to in zoning for tiny dwelling units. By defining tiny dwelling units in code, it provides an avenue for cities and counties to ensure that dwellings built are quality within their jurisdictions. I would highlight that this bill keeps local control front and center, requiring nothing of cities and counties, and allows them to choose how to utilize this legislation or not. My fellow local House local government members, I, like many of you, heard time after time, door after door, that we should do something about housing. This bill is an opportunity to deliver. I'll sit down and let proponents and possibly opponents speak to you. Mr. Chair, members of the House Local Government Committee, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kearns. Are there proponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kelly Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H. I'm the Executive Director of Montana League of Cities and Towns, and we are happy to stand in support of this bill. You'll see a reference in there to Appendix Q. About 5 years ago, we were really struggling locally to be able to allow tiny homes because there was no specific building code for doing tiny homes, so they had to meet regular residential requirements under the building code, and that's just a little bit too much money than you need to spend on these smaller homes. So we worked very hard over the years to get building code division to adopt that Appendix Q, which allows for different, slightly easier requirements. Back to our building code discussion, sorry. So they did pass that a couple years ago, and I think this is a great follow-up to that to help encourage looking at zoning specifically for tiny homes. So we support the bill. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Are there other opponents or proponents in the room?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Madison Grady, that's G-R-A-D-Y, and I'm representing the Montana Association of Realtors today. We are also in support of House Bill 246. We believe that this, like the sponsor said, is a great tool to allow cities to have zoning for tiny homes, as we like to call them in the industry. Some statistics I thought the committee might be interested in is that, in fact, 86% of aspiring first-time homebuyers have considered purchasing a tiny home to live in, as well as the fact that this is very popular among the millennial generation specifically, as well as the fact that they are obviously a lot more affordable than when you are purchasing a regular home. They are, in fact, 87% cheaper than a normal home nationwide. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grady. Are there other proponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Adrienne Cotton, C-O-T-T-O-N, here on behalf of AARP Montana, because older generation are also interested in tiny homes, not just new home buyers and millennials. So I'm here representing our 140,000 members across the state of Montana. Older Montanans are feeling the housing pinch just as much as any segment of ages in Montana. So many of them live on low and moderate fixed incomes. And then, of course, we can toss in the spiraling property taxes that make it even more difficult for older Montanans. And while this is not a silver bullet solution to the housing crisis alone, AARP Montana believes that House Bill 246 provides another housing option, and we strongly encourage the committee's support. In August of 2022, AARP surveyed Montanans 45 and older. So not just AARP Montanans, everyone 45 and older. And we found that 85% of respondents want to stay in their homes and communities as they age. Tiny dwellings, which can also be accessory dwelling units, ADUs, allow folks more options to stay in their homes and in their communities instead of in costly long-term care facilities. So these preferences, coupled with the rapid aging of the United States and Montana, the decrease in households with children, and the national housing shortage will continue to boost the demand for smaller homes, including tiny dwellings. And then just a note of caution as this bill moves forward, tiny dwellings should be built alongside other homes and not segregated or zoned exclusively in an area for tiny homes, which would result in increased isolation, which of course we've seen with mobile home parks. Thank you, and we urge it to pass.
Thank you, Ms. Cotton. Other proponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Karen Alley, A-L-L-E-Y. I'm Associate General Counsel for the Montana Association of Counties, and also rise in support of this bill, as again, it's a good tool to allow local jurisdictions the ability and the flexibility to zone for these tiny dwelling units. And I don't have anything to add other than what the other proponents have. So again, we urge a due pass on this bill.
All right, thank you, Ms. Alley. Other proponents?
Good afternoon, Chair Brewster, members of the committee. I'm Ann Schwend, Sustainable Communities Program Director for the Montana Environmental Information Center. And we stand in great support of this bill. One of the things that I am really tracking is affordable housing and sustainable communities. And we believe that creating, defining, and allowing cities or counties the option for zoning for these types of homes really gives us another option in the portfolio, and for all the reasons that everyone has said before. Plus, I'm excited that it's both for millennials and older people and kind of a variety. I think this is a good choice, so we urge your due pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schwend. Other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Carrie Hegreberg. It's H-E-G-R-E-B-E-R-G. I'm the president and CEO of the Montana Bankers Association. We developed a strategic plan a couple months ago, and one of the key components of that is to work on issues that improve affordable housing in Montana. And we're finding even in some locations we can't find places for bank employees to live that are affordable. And I think we all know where some of those communities are. So we're here to support this bill. We think it's a good part of the solution. We know that banks would be certainly open and willing to finance credit-worthy projects that involve tiny homes. So we're also in favor of it from that standpoint. And just a personal note, my wife is absolutely infatuated with these tiny homes. And we have a little acreage in Broadwater County, and she keeps needling me to look into how do we, you know, encourage a development on our property of tiny homes. And I keep kind of resisting it, but she keeps pushing. So this bill might help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hegreberg. Other proponents?
Good afternoon, Chair Brewster and members of the House Local Government Committee. My name is Ethan Hanley, last name spelled H-A-N-L-E-Y, and I represent the Associated Students of the University of Montana, UM Student Government, and we stand in support of House Bill 246. I won't reiterate everything that's been said, but we think that this is a good step in the right direction towards solving the housing crisis and ultimately representing an increase of supply and hopefully driving down housing costs, especially for students in Missoula that are really feeling the crunch of housing prices. We appreciate the sponsor for bringing the bill, and we urge you to support House Bill 246 today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hanley. Other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jake Brown, B-R-O-W-N, here today with Shelter Whitefish, a nonprofit with the mission of advocating for accessible, affordable housing. We, too, rise in support. We're big believers in building housing that sort of prioritizes infill versus sprawl, you know, makes best use of the land that we have in our local governments, and we believe that this bill kind of helps fit that goal. So we'd like to lend our support. I would just like to add, though, that we do believe that there are a lot of other solutions for Montana's housing crisis, but we think this is a step in the right direction, so we'd like to lend our support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Other proponents?
Chairman Brewster and members of the Local Government Committee, my name is Ashley Martinez, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z, and I'm representing Cotton Construction. We're a custom home builder here in Helena, and we support House Bill 246. Creating zoning districts that allow tiny homes could help reduce urban sprawl. Redeveloping vacant land and buildings within the community core could help create a thriving environment for businesses and individuals alike. Permitting permanent dwelling of tiny homes is a cost-effective way of maximizing affordable housing within the existing community, and the average household in Montana is 2.3 people. Tiny homes can provide affordable accommodations for many individuals and families that don't require the large family homes. And I urge you to vote in favor of House Bill 246. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Are there other proponents in the room? See none. Are there proponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are there opponents in the room?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Josh Wallery. That's J-O-S-H-W-A-L-L-E-R-Y. I am with Eisman Homes Helena, the Montana Manufactured Housing Association, and I am the factory-built housing representative for building codes. I was involved in the Appendix Q and adopting that for our current building codes. I am here in support of this bill and its intentions. The only problem I have with the bill would be starting on page 2, line 5, and again on page 3, line 3. The definition in manufactured housing of 1,000 square foot was placed into law by our association through legislation in the early 90s. It was passed in a time before tiny homes, when more people were wanting bigger homes and things. And in the early 90s, it was suggested that for us to get into zoning districts, they were okay with manufactured homes as long as they were at least 1,000 square foot at that time. So if we're doing some zoning changes and updating this, I think to update the square footage to follow with what HUD code is, which HUD code starts at 400 square foot and goes up. So in our industry, we can come in with a 400 square foot house. If we're talking millennials, different things of that age where we're putting on an extra house, I'm on the front lines today. I've already met with two different families trying to get them into homes. It is a crisis here. One of the first things I ask people, though, is do you have land? Do you have property? Mom and Dad have some property. They're willing to put it on the back part. Can we put this house on there? Can we get it through? Some of the different things of this zoning to allow, so you can't, they'll allow more than one family residence on one lot is kind of where this is going, and we are in favor of it as long as we can change the 1,000 square foot to 400 to be more current with HUD code.
All right, thank you, Mr. Thank you. Wallery. Other opponents? Other opponents? Are there opponents online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are there any informational witnesses in the room? Do we have any informational witnesses online?
No, Mr. Chair.
Are there questions from the committee? Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Mr. Kern.
Mr. Chair, Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good representative. There's plenty of support here, but there's a crowd that I'm surprised isn't here, and that would be the city or county planners. Can you explain to me, since they develop these plans and take a lot of things into consideration, where's their involvement?
Mr. Chair, Representative Galloway, now I don't know if I'm officially able to say this, but I mean, I do look to MACO and the Association of Cities and Towns as an example, but I will defer to them.
Re-refer, please.
Go ahead. Re-refer. Who do you?
Sally.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
So my question is we have a lot of support here today, but I don't see what I would have expected would have been our city or county planners chiming mm-hmm. in on what their feelings is and how this works with what they've been spending years and multitudes of money planning communities.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where the Montana Association of Planners stands on this. I don't know that I sent this bill out to them. So I'm unable to give you their position. I apologize.
All right, Representative Cohn, are you finished? Representative Cohnauer.
Mr. Chair, a question for Mr. Hegerberg, if I might.
Mr. Hegerberg.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Hegerberg, I'm actually over here today.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. So I have a question about the concern that Mr. Schwallery brought forward to the committee, and I do have a question about the banking. And so if we were to change that 400 square feet, would that also affect financing for these small, tiny homes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cohenauer, I'm not fully comfortable answering that question without working with some of our banks that specialize in that area, but I think the code issue is probably paramount, and I think he made some pretty good points. I'd be happy to check back and report to you and the committee on that question.
That would be really good. I'd appreciate that. Mr. Chair, can I have a follow-up with Mr. Schwallery?
Follow-up.
Wallery? Okay, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cohenauer.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Wallery?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. Just on that particular issue, so if we were to follow the HUD code, what does that achieve?
Well, that's the HUD code is a national building code that governs manufactured housing. And then in certain states, you have to follow their installation guidelines, which we have to in Montana. And to answer your question on the financing end of it, through different credit unions, local banks here, and then we have resources through numerous national lenders that will lend single section homes, home only. We call it a chattel loan when they get a loan just on the house, or they can tie in the house and the land. We have even 30-year notes for single wides on private property and things of that nature. So there's a lot of financing resources right now because a lot of the companies are seeing the problem that we have and are getting active into it.
Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Yeah, one more follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just then, what is the difference in the 400 square feet? I mean, why is that a necessary? Why do you feel like it's necessary to change?
Well, through the chair, please.
To the chair. 400 square foot is what the code says. If we leave it at 1,000 and it says in there, then pending what could happen, they could exclude a manufactured house that is 600 square foot, one bedroom, one bath. What fits on somebody's property? I'm just going to pull generic. A 15 by 66 single wide home is about 1,000 square foot. That is almost as big as I make for a single wide home. So you're kind of excluding our industry by putting that 1,000 square foot when it doesn't really apply to any codes or anything national. So I'm just asking to follow the HUD code, which I have a copy of it that says 400 square foot and above. As long as it says that, I am 1,000% in support of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Wallery.
Yes.
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, Mr. Wallery, you were talking about making an amendment, and am I reading this right, where there's going to be actually two places.
Two spots, correct.
Page one, line 28, as well as line three, line 26. And a follow-up?
Follow-up?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Wallery, would, going on the vein of Representative Cohenauer's question, would it be best to change that directly to 400, or would it be better to list it as per HUD requirements, and then it will fluctuate whenever HUD makes their changes?
As place on 400. That is about what. That's
to the chair, please.
To the chair, apologize. To the chair, that is basically what I'm asking. So either or the 400 square foot, or to follow HUD code, would be fine by me.
And just one comment. I think if we went with the follow HUD comment, if there's any changes, now we aren't coming back to do this again.
Doing this again in the future, correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Discussions later. Any other questions? All right, Ms. Cohenauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to follow up with Ms. Lynch.
Ms. Lynch.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen-Auer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Lynch. There was some discussion about the planners, and I thought you might actually be a better person to answer that question. And it would be good for the committee since we have asked for information to come back to the committee.
Yeah, so as to Representative Galloway's question about planners, for at least Montana League of Cities and Towns, we look to our planners for input into what position we're going to take, but it's our elected officials and our board that make the decision, so we speak on behalf of the cities and towns. And as a certified planner, I can tell you that the bill really just helps make it clear that tiny homes are something that we can talk about specifically, encourage them in certain areas, allow them in certain areas, talk about them with respect to the densities that we're looking at in an area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Galloway.
Or Ms. Lynch.
Ms. Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're making my point, though, is that if the city planners had reviewed this bill, then sure. I think things that...
Is there a question there?
Oh, I just believe that if they were able to study this, they would be catching what our opposition was catching, because they know the code, not the officials. So I'm just surprised they weren't involved to review this.
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Galloway, my planners were involved in looking at it, and they were fine with it.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative, would you like to close on your bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the House Local Government Committee, just to address a few points that we heard about. One of the things that we talked about was that dealing with manufactured homes, I would just point out that as even though we were dealing with that section of code, as far as the title of the bill and what we were actually doing, that cities and counties may create zoning districts, that actually is not within the scope of the title of the bill to be able to do something as specific as changing another 1,000-foot to 400 foot within the scope of this bill. So I would maybe consider that when thinking about amendments. At the end of the day, we're in a housing crisis. We hear this again and again. We've heard proponents talk about being able to age in place and millennials being able to have some kind of affordable housing situation. And this is no magic bullet, I'll just be honest with you. But allowing for accessory dwelling units and specifically tiny dwelling units is something that we can do to proactively address this crisis and to provide for Montanans to be able to have a house and a quality house to live in. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Kearns. With that, this closes the hearing on House Bill 246. Members, I think we'll take about a 10-minute break, then we'll come back for executive action. Yeah. We'll call us back into order. We're going to pass consideration on this bill until February 2nd, and then we'll bring it back. We're going to make a few adjustments and hope to get it passed then. Okay? All right. That'll be the end of our business today, so we're adjourned. All right.